I'm not a doctor, and I don't pretend to be one. I'm just a thinker. But a lot of this stuff in the world just fascinates me, and medical technology and all of that stuff. Anybody here this morning got a pacemaker? Huh? Nobody got a pacemaker. That's good. That's good. But did you know that pacemakers is used to regulate what is called a cardiac pacing device that keeps the rhythm of our heart steady and sure? And for those who have heart failure or heartbeat issues, the pacemaker resynchronizes the heart and makes the heartbeat more effective. You know, without all this modern medicine and modern technology, you know, it's just fascinating that we do have a better quality of life. But I never give much thought about it. We are chemical beings. We have electricity in our bodies, and it's just awesome. Well, the heart electrical system controls the heartbeat. But aging, muscles, damage from heart attack or diets or any other genetic conditions can cause the heartbeat to be abnormal. It can get sludgy, therefore not pumping enough oxygen to the brain or even other organs, because other organs in our body need oxygen too. Now, some pacemakers will even increase the heart rate during exercise as needed. Once implanted, the pacemaker makes sure the heart is regulated so that you can stay healthy. See, it's just like breathing. We don't even think much about it. We don't think much about our heart either. It's automatic, if you would. It's amazing how God created our bodies. The body is an interesting and complex orgasm. No, I didn't mean to say that. Complex organism. Somebody misspelled it on my sheet.
That too.
But without extenuating circumstances such as illness or aging, the heart regulates its own. It just does its own thing. The body has other regulators as well, very important. And the body regulates our temperature so that its internal organs function properly. And no matter how cold it gets outside or how hot the sun shines on our body, our internal temperatures remain very stable. It's only when the immune system, which we're finding out more about the immune system in our day and time, perceives an attack from an outside invader, does it ramp up the body's temperature and try to destroy the attacker. Often wondered about fevers and so forth. But fevers are good because it lets us know that our body is attacking something in there that shouldn't be in there. And when it feeds and it succeeds, the body temperature then returns to normal. The body also needs a fluid regulator. Our human adult bodies are made up of 60% water. Now, you can find different percentages depending on who's doing the study, but basically, our body is made up of 60% water. The bulk of who we are sounds something like a sea creature, if you think about it. We're full of water. We're in water all the time. The brain and heart alone composed of 73% water. The lungs, about 83%, and our skin and our muscles and our kidneys, about 79%. So even our bones are made of 31% water. Hey, think about that. What regulates all this water? What regulates its retention, its temperature, and its release? There's a vital mineral called salt. And if you listen to the human body, and you look at the human body, it weighs like 0.4% of our weight is in salts. Now, that's pretty much the equivalent of seawater. You know, you can't drink seawater unless you do a desalination process. So the average person would contain about 40 teaspoons of salt in their bodies. So, truly, we are, in fact, sea creatures. Why? Why does the salt do things that it does in the body? What happens to it? Why? It regulates. It should be no big surprise. In fact, salt regulates in other ways outside the body too. Now, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and some of you grew up in West Virginia and different places of the country where the weather is not like this, only a couple months out of the year. So we get something called snow and ice and freezing temperatures. And the only way you can kind of survive on the roads or the walkways or so forth, you get something we call salt. And they sprinkle it all over the roads and the ice and the sidewalks, and it melts the ice so that you can walk. Add a little salt to fire. I never realized this about fire either. Now, I used to visit Judy when we were dating. You'd go down, and she likes to fry things. And I went down there one day. I don't know what she was frying, but whatever it was flared up. And I was shocked. She reached over and grabbed the salt shaker and put out the fire on the stove. I didn't know salt could put out a fire, but it does. You want to regulate your cooking when you're doing some barbecue and you're cooking meat, add a little salt to the fire. It'll control flare-ups without cooling the cools, and it'll cook your food more regularly and consistency. And I often like to watch those cooks on television. Sometimes they just take a pinch and psh. Well, anyhow, a little salt controls the flame. Salt regulates. Now, it's interesting, even though the Bible is not a scientific book or has a lot of science in it, it's often right when it describes some of these very interesting metaphors, like salt. Now, I can imagine in Jesus' day, and I can only imagine it because I wasn't there, but I like to think about maybe what it was like when Jesus was walking here on this earth, cooking outdoor, or maybe even a stone oven or an open fire that would have added value to what they were doing, and the benefits of using salt to calm the flames down to regulate cooking of the meat. In fact, I bet in Jesus' day, they also knew the benefits of salt as a preservative, a healing agent, even purification substance. People then were a lot smarter than we give them credit for. It's evident that Jesus knew the regulatory function of salt, because in the scriptures today, that's exactly the way he described it. This is from a different translation. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, will it become salty again? Maintain salt among yourself and keep peace with each other. Obviously, to be salted with fire refers to being touched by the Holy Spirit. That's the purifying agent of God that takes our restlessness, our obstinates, our sludgy, our weak hearts, and our weak spirit, and creates within us a sense of calm and peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So the conversation between Jesus and his disciples began when some of the disciples were tattling. They used to tattle on each other too. Lord, there's somebody out there casting out demons in your name, and they're not even part of our group. Throw them out. See the jealousy amok even among the disciples years ago. Because there's a territorialism coming out in their manner of speech. Jesus jumped on it like a ton of bricks, and he said, let them do it. Whoever isn't against us is for us. The point I think Jesus was making is there's no reason to be in conflict, and truly, there's not. We as humans think conflict is good, but it's not. There's no reason for us to be in conflict. Now, we don't always have to agree, but we can agree to disagree, and we can be kind to one another, for lack of a better term. Because Jesus seems to be avoiding them, to avoid conflict. Don't trip up anyone else, he said. Look at your own sin and your own life, he warned. And then he assures them that everyone who follows him, regardless of who they are, or whatever denomination, or whatever religious affiliation, will be equally salted with fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, all who follow Jesus will be part of a new kind of community, an exclusive community made up of only his current inner circle. No, it needs to be a huge, diverse community made up of many, many, many kinds of people. Did you know we all have different personalities? You know why God made vanilla and chocolate ice cream? Because everybody don't like vanilla. We're diverse, but we all like ice cream. And that's the way it is with life. We all love life. I love life. And I hope and pray you do too. So Jesus is teaching, no matter what you do, maintain salt among yourself and keep peace with each other. Stick together. Don't argue amongst each other. Support each other. And those who support me, he said, regulate your heart. Or better said, allow the Holy Spirit to be your peacemaker. Not pacemaker, but peacemaker. And then you will have no flare-ups. You'll have no angry outbursts, no judgmental against others, or even initiate conflicts. Love one another. Be at peace with one another. This is what it means to be salted by the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to love one another. And we got to do that. We don't have to like one another. We don't always have to go places with one another. But we need to love one another, respect one another, and be salted by the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit resides in your heart, and I know you all know this because you all have experienced that love relation with the Holy Spirit, resides in your heart, you no longer function out of your feelings or out of jealousy or rage or what the Apostle Paul talked about, the fruits of the Spirit. Over in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, we learned that we're not allowed the salt of the covenant of our God to be lacking from our offerings. For everything we offer must be due to the covenant that we carry in our hearts. Our covenant with God, which we cherish above all things. God created us for fellowship with him. That's why he created us. And then we broke that covenant, and you know, we're in the mess that we're in, but he makes that covenant available with an attitude of repentance. And then Jesus goes a little step further. He assured his disciples that the closer we are to God, the more we allow our lives to be shaped, regulated, molded, guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus isn't with us in the fleshly sense anymore. He went home to be with the Lord. But he did say, when I go home to be with Daddy, I'm going to send one greater than I. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that'll live in you. I will be with you even to the end of the age. The paraclete, the one that comes alongside. He molds us and he guides us and he shapes us. Now, I think we've all experienced salt. We know what salt is. But I don't know if you paid much attention to it, and I never paid much attention to it, is you take a little bit of salt and you put it in your hand, it generates warmth. And as you hold it in your hand, I think sometimes you will say, hey, maybe that warmth comes from God, and say a little prayer and say, thank you, God, for coming into our heart. And thank you for the salt with the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit to generate within you God's purity, his grace, his power, and more importantly, his peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Did you know you are made of water, like the sea? But you're also imbued with the breath of the Spirit of the living God. When God decided to create humans, and he started with the one Adam, of course he created all of us, but you know, when he formed him out of the dust of the earth, after he was all done, it was just a lifeless, whatever, laying there on the ground, looked like a human, but it had no life. But God then reached down, they call it the Ruach, and he breathed into Adam's nostrils. And life became what we know it today. The Spirit of the living God. Every one of us, I think, from the time we were born, we're given breath. The doctor takes that little baby and slaps him on the tailbone and he gets that breath working and they cry. It's amazing. Each one of us, from the moment that we were baptized or accepted Christ into our life, we're given that gift of the Spirit. Because when you accept God into your life, you don't get him in pieces. You get him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing. And I pray that you can feel the moving of the Holy Spirit within you this morning, or every moment of your life. That molding you, changing you, lifting you up, calming you. And may the Spirit of the living God be at peace, that God passes all understanding, because we don't understand it, how you can be at such peace. Her cousin asked me to come by after church to prepare his service coming up. You know, and to me that's a wonderful testament, because in this world, in this life, unless the Lord comes for us first, we're all going to experience physical death. But if you have the hope, the blessed hope, the peace that passes all understanding, know there's something much better ahead for us, then you can do that. Because it's a wonderful gift for the family. Now, some people get killed in accidents and so forth. They don't have a chance to do it. Or what they used to say, well, you need to go home and get your orders, you know, all your thing in order. But to be able to do that, to know that this life is only temporal, what we call this life, physical life, but not spiritual life, because your spirit lives on. That's what I think that God has given us an indication. Because the real Ralphie that lives down in here, is like that little baby, is just as young and fresh and alive and full of piss and vinegar than I ever was. But this old body outside, we replaced the steps yesterday on our back porch. And I got that chair and I got some things to know. Anyhow, I think that's God's way of letting us know that we have eternal life.